The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. This is the day on which the Holy Spirit lit upon the heads of the apostles in the upper room where they were locked up for fear of the Jews. Now, the Pentecost experience was basically twofold. The first was the fact that the apostles left that upper room and went out and started proclaiming the good news of the great things that God had done. And when they spoke, everyone in the crowd heard them in their own language. Now, two ways of looking at that. Either the apostles were speaking in different languages, or the people who heard the apostles speaking in their language now understood what they were saying in their own language. Either way you look at it, that was the work of the Holy Spirit on that day, and many came to believe. Now, the idea of speaking in tongues is very important in the life of the early church, for that is what the apostles did. They spoke in tongues, Spanish, Greek, French, whatever. Of course, those languages were not present at that time. But that's the idea. It would be as though I were standing here preaching and you would hear me in some other language than English. I once had a dear friend in Rawlins, Wyoming, who spoke Spanish fluently and English fluently. And we had a man come into the church who spoke only Spanish. And he needed something, but I couldn't understand what it was he needed. So I poked my head around the corner and said, "Mary, I need you to come and speak in a tongue." We had the only Pentecostal prayer group in all of Rawlins, Wyoming. And she came and she spoke to the man in his own language. We discovered what he needed, we provided that, and he went on his way in joy. And we went back to prayer. Now, by the time Paul is writing his epistle to the Corinthians, speaking in tongues came to have an entirely different meaning. It was glossolalia, the language of the angels, which no one understands. It was simply the language that was given to a person by the Holy Spirit as a gift that was exclusively between that individual and the Spirit of God. Now, the people in Corinth decided, oh, this is a good thing. We can declare that the only real Christians are those who speak glossolalia. And that's us. Wouldn't that be great? Well, they thought it would, but Paul didn't think it was great. He said, no, 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 no. I would rather speak a few words in a language that is understandable than many words in language that does no one any good but me. And so he taught the Corinthians that that kind of a language was not something that they should use all the time, and certainly not something that they should use to eliminate people from the church, even though it was Old Testament material. That's what the prophet in that lesson was talking about. You see, there were two kinds of prophets in the Old Testament. There were the prophets who were sent by God to declare God's word and tell the people what they needed to start doing and what they needed to stop doing. Those are the prophets like Elijah, like Isaiah, like Jeremiah. Those are the prophets that God sent to the people with a specific message. But the other kind of prophets were those who wandered about the countryside babbling in a language that no one could understand, glossolalia. When they did that, they simply were rejoicing at the presence of God's breath, His Spirit, in their midst. When Saul was anointed king, he was taken off by a group of those prophets and joined them for a while and spoke in those tongues. So even though it's Old Testament material, Paul said it's secondary to the work of the church. And that brings us to the second part of Pentecost. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit for the work of the body of Christ. Paul issues a short list and a longer one later on. But he issues this list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that some should do this and some should do that. And when you put them all together, everything gets done. But you can't leave people out. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit in those terms is something that is very personal to the individual, but incorporates something that is very necessary to the life of the church. So what are your gifts? You see, the Holy Spirit didn't stop on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit didn't stop in Corinth. But the Holy Spirit still bestows upon the people of God gifts which they are to use for the building up of the body of Christ. So the question is, what's your gift? And how do you go about using it to build up the body of Christ? I have always thought and always taught that one of the results of the gift of the Holy Spirit is that you actually enjoy using it. Now, we all know how that works sometimes and how it doesn't work at other times. We know those clergy who say, we need somebody to mop the floor after the dinner. And I think it should be you. And you have no joy in mopping floors, but you're assigned a task. No. The Holy Spirit gives you a gift that you will enjoy using. Now, that gift could be anything. That could be serving at the altar. That could be vacuuming and sweeping the floors. That could be, in some instances, washing the dishes, which is one of my gifts. I love to wash the dishes after the service. To stand in that sacristy with my hands in hot, soapy water, washing the chalice that has borne the blood of Christ, washing the patens that held his body. That, to me, is a great joy. When I first retired, I did that for a whole year. I sat in the church where Julie was vicar, and I washed the dishes after the service. It was wonderful. I know of a man in Rawlins, Wyoming, whose gift was riding around on his riding lawnmower, which also had a snowplow attachment. And he would get up in the winter and he would drive his riding lawnmower with the snowplow attached down to the church, and he would plow the sidewalks and he would plow the parking lot. And he loved doing it. I know of another parish where there was a man who said, you know, I don't think the Holy Spirit has given me any gift. But this guy loved to tinker with cars. And a woman came in who was a widow on a very limited, tight budget, and she said, my car won't run, and I don't have money to get it fixed. And he said, oh, I have that gift. And so he began to gather a group of men who loved to work on cars. And they helped people get their cars running again at very little expense, just parts. Your gift may be huge. Your gift may be small, but your gift is a gift that is needed in the body of Christ, in this church. Whatever your gift is, you need to use it to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, such a deal we have for you. We have a lady in the diocese. Her name is Kathy Black. Some of you who worked within the diocese and conversed with the diocesan office under Bishop Kirk, know her well. She does a workshop on spiritual gifts that is designed to help you determine your gift and how you can joyfully use it in the life of the church. You're going to have that opportunity this coming fall. So I hope you all hold on to that fact and participate when she comes to do that. It will help build up the body of Christ in this place. Now, there are things that we do not have gifts for. And we do them just because we need to do them. One of my gifts is not a good singing voice. Some of you know that quite well. But that gift is present in our other two clergy. And so, as we go on, you will get the opportunity to hear them, or Doug at least, and maybe Winifred, use that gift of song in terms of a sung service. So, you see, every gift from God in His Spirit can be used to the building up of His body, yours included. Amen.